Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this August the 12th, 2019. This is episode number 50 of the program. We're coming to you from the bunker in rather soggy Western Canada today, or at least where we're located. No Big Bird today. He's in the barn still. And wearing a bunny hug today on a cloudy, rainy day. The rain can go away anytime. By the way, Rod Peterson here to open the show with a warm-up. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Thelma, he's Louise.
Yeah.
Which one's the hot one?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Can't remember.
I can't remember.
So long ago. Hey, he's just back from Montreal. He bought that blazer there. Do you want to tell the folks what I mentioned about that?
And the shirt, too.
I asked him if they sell menswear where he got that.
It's fashion, Rod. It's what you do in Montreal. No, right. It's a nice coat.
It's for those listening, listen live this morning at rodpeterson.com. It is plum color.
Yeah, it's blood not, red.
It's
not
Crimson
quite red.
Tide. Tide red.
Yeah, I thought it was closer to the DuPont Media red, but it's not. It's
Roll a little bit Tide. Dark,
but it is, yeah.
I'm just going to quickly say what's coming up on the program today. Our producer, Clark, has tabbed it our Plaza of Honor special week. Mike Abu-Meshrick will be here on in the bunker, former Rider, Blue Bomber, and Renegade. Kerry Joseph coming up later on in the program via video chat. He's going into the Plaza of Honor here later this month in Saskatchewan. Weston Dressler will be one day. He quasi-announced his retirement last week. That was by virtue of us learning that he took a job in the health services field in Bismarck, North Dakota. And also Scott MacArthur coming up to talk a little Blue Jays today. You're all dressed up, which is cool. I'm not. I'm wearing this, as you can see, Grey Cup hoodie, CFL. And somebody wrote in here, Stan. I don't know where Stan's watching from, but he says, CFL talk all day. And that's pretty much what we'll be doing, except for the chat with Scott MacArthur. Brent Reimer writing in. He says, finally made it to the live show. Thanks, Brent. Hope that we don't disappoint you, and I'm sure that we won't, because the live part is what's so fun. It's interactive. You can write in on the Facebook wall. You can write in on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. We will be, well, there's breaking news this morning in the CFL. Not breaking on this show, but Sean Lemon's been traded again to the BC Lions. You obviously saw that.
I did, yes.
Davin Coleman going the other way from BC and a conditional draft pick in the 2020 draft to the Toronto Argonauts for Sean Lemon, who I have no issues with. Sean Lemon, I like Sean Lemon. He came to some of the events that I've thrown. He's a good, to me, a good guy. Some don't like him, but guess what? We all have that, right?
Yeah, sure.
I did count this 14 teams in the last 8 years Sean Lemon's been on.
14?
14 teams.
That's hard to comprehend.
I know.
Such a large number. I know it must be something behind the scenes, because he continues to be a very good pass rusher, continues to be a guy who can play at an elite level when it comes to putting pressure on the quarterback, and clearly BC's defense needs to get some more pressure from that defensive line and get a little boost on the defensive side. Putting up 30-plus points and not being able to win a football game, you got to make sure you take care of business. I think this will help them.
You would think BC knew what they were getting, because one of the 14 teams Sean Lemon's been on in the last 8 years is the BC Lions. So that's news this morning from the CFL. The reason I'm wearing the Grey Cup hoodie is because I was just in Calgary, had a great time at the family reunion, a really good time. We didn't kill each other. So that is a win this morning. They're all watching the show out there. And the reason we had the family reunion in Calgary, because these are all Saskatchewan people. Originally, they've all filtered out throughout Western Canada, right? So yep. Calgary is very central for everybody now. And they're all watching the show. They're all listening to the show. And they said, when's it going to be on TV out here? When's it going to be on the radio out here? What should I tell them, dupes? Because I don't know. I told them I'd just show up in this chair and talk every day. I don't look after that stuff.
The more that happens, the closer we are to being there.
More people ask?
The more the people ask. But the more that people just love the show. I mean, it just continues to grow in these communities. We started this thing. I mean, you are so closely tied with the writers that everybody just assumes this is a Regina show.
Right.
Even more than a Saskatchewan show, and it's a big Saskatchewan show. But as you and I both know, this is a really big show across the entire country.
And we have the numbers to prove it.
In all the CFL markets. So that's what's exciting.
That's just kind of, we'll get to Rogers Cup. It was the weekend of sporting disappointments, if you will.
Yeah.
Obviously, the rainout Friday night in Montreal, which we'll spend the bulk of the program on today. I'll get this out of the way right now. I have no problem with the way the CFL handled it. None. It's a new rule that nobody knew that they brought in the rule until they had to evoke it, which is cool. It's not just because the Riders won. I understand people in Montreal are upset that their team lost, didn't have a chance to come back. But it's a rule. Everybody agreed on it. From the investigation that I did, the presidents came up with it. Not the GMs, not the football people, but the presidents came up with it. Took it to the players. They agreed with it. They signed off on it. And away we go.
Yeah.
And you were in Montreal on the weekend. Was there any talk of it?
Yeah.
Was it just tennis?
No, there was. And of course, people in Montreal were, you know, expectedly disappointed and upset about it. And as they should be. I mean, it's a one-score game. You feel like, you know, we talk about football games really could be a dud all the way through and be super exciting in the final 3 minutes and everything can happen. You don't even get that opportunity. So you feel like you missed out on that. You feel like your team got shortchanged a little bit with a chance to win a good football game, a team that's been on the rise in the Alouettes. And, you know, with two good teams, you're just missing out on that entertainment value. But I also understand it, too, from a labor relations point of view. It's a reason, you know, I believe that we have ties, that we go right to the shootout in hockey, because it's such a business now that when you're doing the negotiations, and especially in the CFL where the salaries are so much smaller, you're talking about you and I or anybody in their day-to-day jobs, if you're going to go and play extra time, you want overtime for that. You want to get paid for that. And it's a thing about how late in the day are we going to play? Are we going to play till midnight, 1 a.m? We all get a game the next week, so the coaches expect us back at practice, you know, after maybe a day off or right away. So it all comes into play, and I think that's why the rule is the way it is.
So the rule is if it's delayed by an hour, halfway into the third quarter, we'll call it a game. And again, I don't know. You obviously understand it, but clearly not everybody agrees with it. I loved Henry Burris's comments on the TSN panel. He's like, fans paid to watch a game. The fans got shortchanged. Well, it's in a way an act of God, as is Cody Fajardo, clearly.
Yes.
What are you going to do about it? But that has spawned our daily Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. How long of a weather delay are you willing to sit through at a game? The options are half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, or longer. And as we sit here this morning, and I put this poll up a few hours ago, who do you think's winning?
Longer.
49% are saying 2 hours. Well, wait 2 hours, and then we're gone. Okay. We got to catch the subway or, you know, our meter's expired. I voted for half an hour. The Canada Day game here, July 1st. Remember the storm?
Yeah.
Just before halftime. I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. See ya. I'm going home. Oh, wait. Then I got to walk through this rain. Nah, I'll wait.
Yeah.
What would that end up being? 90 minutes?
Yeah,
2 hours?
Yeah, about that.
Of course, they couldn't call that a game because it wasn't halfway through the third quarter.
And that mark halfway through the third quarter is what they consider the game to be official. They've played enough that they can declare
like
a winner.
5 innings in baseball, right, is about... I'm no mathematician. Shane, what's 5 innings out of 9? What's the math? the accountant said, three quarters, he says. Ah, close enough, says the bookkeeper. Again, live studio audience over there. It's great. Our intern, Connor, showed up again while you were gone. I said, Connor, you only got to come till Friday. Go enjoy your summer, man. Unless you really want to come in on Monday, then that's entirely up to you. And he's here today, and I think we're never getting rid of him.
But
that's the sense that I got.
That's interesting, because that's something that was told to me by somebody in this business, in our business, that I really respect. A few years ago, when I, you know, was at the morning skates for the playoffs, and I love going
show
to the morning
up for
skates.
Them.
People notice when you show up when you're not expected to, or when it's not required.
Are you listening, Connor?
People notice.
Well, I noticed
when you put in the work that's not required.
Our intern's here, Connor. Mark is watching from rainy Dog River, Saskatchewan. Johnny Meisner watching today from Vancouver, Washington. And he says, a win is a win and I can live with it. Go Riders. He is a Rider fan down there in Vancouver, Washington. So vote in our poll via Twitter, at Rod Peterson Show. How long are you willing to sit through a weather delay at a game? Right now, 49% are saying 2 hours. And I guess, lastly, because I want to get Abu on here, and he showed up in the bunker. He's in the waiting room right now. So I was sitting with my friend Mike Lee, who is of Norwegian descent, and he is going to be bringing in Norwegian treats. I was sitting with him last night in Calgary. We Googled the NFL weather delay policy protocol. Yeah. I had no idea what it was.
I haven't looked
at this. My guess is you wouldn't. Who would?
Yeah. No chance.
No. Other than the Super Bowl, which I believe Abu and I were watching together, and Luke, with a delay, the power outage, right, in New Orleans. Obviously, it's like a legal document, the NFL rules on this, the policy, the protocol. Virtually everyone, A, B, C, D, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 4, all said was, check with the commissioner, check with the commissioner. It will come up to the decision of the commissioner.
So
go ask the commissioner.
So
like
NFL.
Everyone came down to the commissioner. So Roger Goodell better be watching every game because he's got to make a call on it. But yeah. In the NFL, they don't have a policy. So, frankly, folks, the CFL is ahead of the curve in even having a policy.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying this morning that I'm with it, down with it, just because the Riders won. Had they lost, I get everybody saying, imagine the outcry if the Riders had lost in this situation. Well, of course, they would be picketing out front of the CFL headquarters on Wellington Street in downtown Toronto right now, if that was the case. But that's my point. I don't have a problem. I want to ask Abu about it. Maybe Weston Dressler, when he comes on today, and Kerry Joseph will say, what the hell are you talking about? But I'm assuming you don't have a problem with it, or maybe you do.
I don't have a problem with it, and I understand why it comes from the top and the presidents. Again, I think it's part of it is about managing your players, and if you start asking them to sit around for 3 hours and play and then short sleep and back to practice and all this kind of stuff, they're going to say, well, we want a raise for that. And you only got so much money, too. I do think it's a business decision as opposed to a real
and that's why the business
football
people
decision.
Came up. Right.
It is. It's not a football decision. The football people want to play the football game.
They're wild about it, actually.
As they should be. But that's the negotiation, and that's what happens in those collective bargaining, you know, negotiations is, you know, they say, okay, well, if you're going to make us play, then we want more money. We want a bigger salary cap because we want to be able to compensate our players for doing the extra work or staying late or, you know, and having that short turnaround and losing sleep and bad flights. And the president say, well, what if we did this? Well, three quarters, that's the game official, da-da-da-da. And so I think that's how it went. I wasn't in those meetings, of course, but I understand it.
Dave writing in, pardon me for sweating, came from the gym here and the lights are hot today. Plus, I'm wearing a hoodie. It's the first non-golf shirt day. I don't know if I can get away with hoodies for the rest of our time here. It's hot here. Dave says, hey, Rod, if this rule existed back then, would the game between the Eskimos and the Riders in 07 have been called? Well, we'll have to ask Abu, who's here, who was on the field at the time, how much time was left in the third quarter when that rain delay happened. Well, by the way, it wouldn't have been because the power outage was 59 minutes. And it wasn't weather. It was a power outage. There's a difference.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an hour. And they came back out. So what was left in the third quarter or fourth quarter really doesn't matter. Because, again, it wasn't a weather situation. It was a power outage.
But isn't that one of the things in sports now and just in the world how we want everything to be perfect. And so we don't want to sit around 2 hours and watch the and wait for the game. So we call the game after, you know, halfway through the third quarter. And we don't want to have snow and weather affect the football game. So we want everybody in domes and we want the season up earlier. But we lose out on these great moments. If this was in effect and if it indeed it would have been called back in 07, we would have not had the wonderful moment that was that Ryder comeback win over the Eskimos at home and the few that stayed, the amazing atmosphere. If we didn't have snow, we wouldn't have downtown Eddie Brown out in the in the cold weather winning a Grey Cup, you know, and doing all those things. These great moments would be gone.
That's why my question on our poll today was not do you agree with the rule or not, because I'm pretty sure the overwhelming majority would say no, they don't agree with it. So the question is, how long are you willing to wait? And the vast majority are saying 2 hours they'd wait for a game. Again, I'm nowhere near as patient as you people. 30 minutes max, I'm out. But some of the topics here. I want to talk about a little NFL. I want to talk fantasy with Abu because we're getting some people writing in saying, are you going to do a fantasy show? Or are you going to do a fantasy segment? Abu's life is a fantasy. So I think that would be a perfect little segue there. He's big in his fantasy leagues, and as are you, as everybody but me. So we'll talk about that a little later on. The Sean Lemon trade, of course. The Regina Red Sox beat Swift Current 5-4 in Game 1 of the WNBL East Final last night. Game 2 goes tonight in Swift Current. So for anybody out there, something for you to do. And I just, again, said, I want to wear this Grey Cup CFL football hoodie to promote the Grey Cup and CFL football because I just came from Calgary where I spent 3 days. And it was lovely. And there's no Grey Cup buzz, they tell me out there. However, I'm walking to the Cross Iron Mills Mall. Have you ever been there?
I love it.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
There's a huge Grey Cup. I took a picture of it. Grey Cup display right at the entrance where you walk in, door 6. I see people wearing Stampeders stuff. You walk into a Jersey City, and the first thing you see is all Stampeders hats and jerseys. Used to be Ryder stuff in Calgary at these things. So, you know, from a sports marketing thing, because I worked with teams for so many years, they would sit there and say, how come we're not selling more tickets? How come our building's empty? Do they even know the game's on? Well, now that I see it from the other side of the world, oh, they know the game's on. They just don't want to pay their money to come. And so it is a CFL problem. It's the problem of the leagues, not even just the CFL problem. You got to make them a reason to go. Give them a reason to go, because the Flames, my cousin whom I spoke with, is paying $11,000+ to split a pair of season tickets to the Flames. Five figures for season tickets to the Calgary Flames.
One seat.
So how do you sit on half a seat, by the way?
I never figured
that out. Just saying, they have the money in CFL. They have the money. It's not an economic thing. It's getting them out to the ballpark thing. So anyways, lots of topics on a Monday morning. Mike Abu-Meshrick joins us here in the bunker next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And catching our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
You pay what we pay with savings up to $19,000 on a 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. And we got them starting at just $34,999 plus tax. Our new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting from just $24,999 plus tax. And you can save $6,000 on remaining 2019 Ford Explorers. Plus, most purchases qualify for $1,000 trade-in bonus cash.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Back on a Monday morning, Mike Abelmeshrick has joined the bunker. He will be with us shortly. Sports update, Bianca Andreescu. You say, how do you say it?
Andreescu.
I was close
enough.
Stepped to her opponent's bench, took a knee, and consoled Serena Williams when she withdrew from their Rogers Cup final due to injury Sunday. But Andreescu stood back up as the first Canadian to win the tournament in 50 years. Rogers Cup final happening in Toronto. Meanwhile, in Montreal, Rafael Nadal won his fifth Rogers Cup title, beating Daniel Medvedev 6-3, 6-0 on Sunday in just 70 minutes. Yankees beat the Jays 1-0 Sunday to end a two-game skid. Masahiro Tanaka allowed three hits while pitching into the ninth inning, walking none and striking out four. TSN Scott MacArthur will be joining us later on in Hour 1 to talk a little Blue Jays. Let me just say this. Bianca Andreescu, should she in any way feel bad that she won because Serena Williams pulled out with, what, a bad back?
Yeah.
Shut her down? I don't think that she should care at all.
Record book will show that she's the first Canadian in 50 years to win
exactly
at home for the tournament, and she earned it. They showed how much time she spent on the court, like in the quarterfinals, compared to everybody else. She had been on the court for like 7 hours. Long matches. She really earned it all, knocking off higher seeds, and everybody else was like 3 hours. It was almost double.
Abu,
she earned it.
Serena should be disappointed in herself for quitting.
Right. In a minute or less, Abu, can you give me your thought on the CFL ending the game Friday night? Because we have TSN Scott MacArthur ready to go on video chat, and we'll get to him in a second. The rain shortened game. Go ahead.
Way too short of a delay. I think 2 hours would be fine. But I'm with you. If I'm at the game, you got an hour, and I'm going to go home. But as for getting it in the books and stuff like that, I wish it was 2 hours long, because an hour really just it's long, but it's not long, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. 2.5 hours they waited for Garth Brooks.
Right. Imagine if they called that.
Yo. I can't.
So it was a, I like what Darren said earlier, a business decision, not a football decision. And anyways, we'll be kicking that around throughout the morning on the program. But the Blue Jays are hot, hot, hot again. And Fan 590 Toronto's Scott MacArthur joins us, Rogers Sportsnet, to talk Jays. Bringing him in this morning, but there we go. There we got him on video chat from the Big Smoke. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. Just up from a mid-morning nap. I did the early morning show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan this morning. So if I look groggy, that's why.
I call it perma-tired when you do radio, yeah. Morning radio. You're tired 24/7.
Yeah, but you know what? You learn to grind it out. You plan out your naps, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I'm raring to go here, boys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. And hey, so the Yankees are in town. That's always sizzle and hot, you know, and when New York comes to town. Talk about this most recent Blue Jays series and how the kids seem to have the whole country turned on right now.
Yeah, well, Bo Bichette, I think, is the one that everybody is focused on. Yesterday, Vladdy didn't play. He did pinch hit in the ninth inning and had a pretty epic at bat against Aroldis Chapman, but that started the why isn't Vladdy playing again narrative, because the Sunday game against the Yankees was one of the premium priced games that the Blue Jays have had this year. And so tickets are far more expensive. If I'm going, why aren't I seeing Vladdy for nine innings, et cetera, et cetera. That's been a bit of a theme at times, but you can start to see, I have no idea where the pitching's going to come from yet. So I have my hesitations about declaring this rebuild successful before it gets anywhere close to that. But you look around the diamond, whether it's Vladdy at third, whether it's Bo at short, Kevin Biggio at second, Lourdes Gurriel in left field, Danny Jansen's got to have a better year offensively next year than he's had this year. But you can start to see sprinkled around the diamond a pretty bright future, at least from a positional perspective, for the Blue Jays. And the way Bo's been setting some records, et cetera, in his first week and a half, 2 weeks in the big leagues, it's a nice distraction from a team that otherwise hasn't given this city or country anything to cheer about this year.
And for the last couple of years with this regime. But are you a Toronto kid, Scott, by the way?
Yes, born and raised in Oakville, just a suburb about a half hour west. I did start my career in Ottawa and worked there for more than a decade. But yes, I'm a GTA Toronto kid.
Okay, well, we have another one in the bunker here who I'll turn loose on you in a second. But I just want to ask you this. Mark Shapiro, the Blue Jays president, seems to me to be the most reviled Toronto sports figure since Gord Stellick and maybe even before that, Harold Ballard. But I didn't mind necessarily what he said to the media on Thursday. I'm with you on the youth movement. It certainly got me excited about the Jays. Were you satisfied with Mark Shapiro's first address to the media since all the deals last week?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening not so much for the words because the words haven't meant much at all, at least the public words. I was listening more for tone and if there was any kind of suggestion that maybe he had gotten the message that they have completely kicked and punted and booted their PR ever since getting here. And I have tried myself, at least to be fair, to this front office and in particular to Mark Shapiro, because he put the front office together, to say that a few things conspired outside of their control that worked against them when they first arrived. But I feel like they have been far too much on the defensive ever since. And he seemed on Thursday or Friday, whatever day it was, when he addressed the media, to really hammer the point, look, people aren't going to care. People aren't going to have a lot of patience for any of what it is that we're doing until we win games at the big league level. And they have gone on and on and on about culture. I don't even know what that means, let alone care what it means. It sounds like corporatists speak to me, and I'm always more interested in what somebody in the rank and file says about their experience working for a front office or playing on a team or working in that environment, more so than I am would ever be interested in somebody at the top explaining to me how things are. Culture and collaboration and all this stuff, that's wonderful. You're redoing the facility down in Dunedin and you're going to make it a top of the class, best in baseball rehab facility for your injured players. It's going to be a great training ground for your kids, all of that. And my feeling has always been, hey, Mark, if the Blue Jays are a 95-win team in, say, like 2022, you're going to know. You're going to know. And Ross Atkins is going to know. And your people are going to know that the facility in Dunedin played a huge role in getting you to here, that the changes you made to the player development department upon your arrival played a huge role in getting you to where you are now. But do you think that George the Animal Steele, on his 12th beer in the WestJet flight deck on a Friday night, who's watching an important game on Saturday and has chosen the Rogers Center as the place to start his weekend before he stumbles on up to Queen West to go out to a bar, do you think he cares about the complex in Dunedin? Do you think he'll ever see the complex in Dunedin? Do you think he'll ever care to see the complex in Dunedin? Do you think he knows what you mean by culture? Do you think he knows what you mean by collaboration? No. Winning baseball matters. And I thought that that was the one thing, whether he was told to say it and repeat it or not, the one thing that he did say that sounded positively different to me. You can have all the process you want, but if the process never leads to results, who cares?
What do you guys got for
that's
Scott?
So that's good.
Good rant, by the way. Yeah. Rackham, there's Rod's rant for the day, courtesy Scott McCarthy.
And that's kind of was my question. You answered my question before I even asked it. Because I didn't think it was a baseball question. I don't think it's a baseball question. I think it's a Toronto sports market problem or concern. If you don't win, we'll go watch the team that is winning. Sadly, there's few and far between. Zing.
Except for the Raptors. Well, by the way, this is the one from Toronto, Scott. He grew up a five-minute bike ride from Skydome.
Right, so, and you know, watching the Jays highlights, you know, you see all the empty empty seats, and I was going to ask if that was a concern, and obviously it is. But again, the only way to get bums in the seats
win.
In Toronto is to win. Like, they're not buying
right,
this
well,
come and see Vladdy anymore, are they?
No, but I mean, look, I think if you go through history here, there are very few teams in professional sports who can lose and get away with it from an attendance perspective. Now, the Maple Leafs here in Toronto are one of them. You know, the Saskatchewan Roughriders will draw well whether you guys have a 5-win team or whether you have a 13 or 14-win team in a given season. I mean, the fans are just that committed and that passionate. And football is different because it's weekly, and you're not home every week. So sometimes it's a 2-week-a-month commitment to get to a game in football, whether it be the CFL or the NFL. In baseball, you can be home for up to 10 days at a time. You're home for 81 nights a season. People aren't going to plunk down to go watch you a lot if they know that they have other alternatives to come and see you, like maybe on a weekend at some point later in the summer. If you don't make yourself in demand, you're not going to draw particularly well unless it's out of your hardcore niche. And the Blue Jays do have that. But they weren't very good when Roger Clemens pitched here in 1997 and 1998, and that didn't matter. Roy Halladay, if not the greatest pitcher of his generation in the decade of the 2000s, was right up there. His starts didn't draw many more fans than other games that the Blue Jays would host back in those days. Players aren't draws. Winning is what draws. Jose Bautista hit 54 home runs in 2010, his breakout season. Did that matter? No. What mattered was late 2015, particularly after the Tulowitzki and Price acquisitions in the final week of July that year, the chase for the division, and then ultimately winning the wild card in 2016, getting to the championship series in 15 and 16. That's what mattered. If you don't win, you won't draw. And to your other point, Mark Shapiro did say something last week. The only edict he has from ownership is to run a business that does not lose money. Well, revenue is down because ticket sales are down, and so beer sales are down, and so popcorn and hot dog sales are down, and merchandise sales are down, et cetera, et cetera. He did say, though, that there would come a point, and it seems to be understood among ownership, that they might have to outspend revenue or revenue on player payroll when the time is right, knowing that if the team is good, they'll be able to recoup that and more through eyeballs on TV, butts in the seats, merchandise sales, concession sales, etc. Sometimes you do have to invest a little bit early to reap the reward later. They haven't reached that point yet, but at least verbally, he says, there seems to be an understanding among ownership that that's going to be required.
Well, Scott, I appreciate this. If I may, you seem very suited to sports talk radio rather than a little 90-second clip on television. You're crushing both, but this is a lot more fun, isn't it?
Well, my background is radio. Yeah, my career, I've been in the industry for almost 20 years. I started a news talk radio up in Ottawa. Then they started dangling carrots and letting me moonlight on what was then the Team 1200 in Ottawa. It's now TSN 1200, and I've done Ottawa Senators games, and I moved down here to Toronto to help launch TSN 1050 and did a bunch of different things there, including my own radio show for a couple of years. And then I jumped on over to Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and I've been doing show hosting all summer. So, I mean, I'm a sports talk radio guy first and foremost. I'm looking at you right now, Rod. I want to wear the hoodie. I don't want to wear the makeup and the suit and the done-up tie. You know, I want to have the stubble or the one on the trimmer beard and all that stuff. I want to wear the hat backward, which is probably because my hair's in 9 different directions. Because I've been doing the morning show, or just did the morning show, and I will be doing it this week. So I crushed a bit of a nap. I think I said off the top. So that's why I'm wearing a hat. I actually look more responsible this way, wearing a hat backwards at 40 years old, than I would if you saw my hair. So yeah, I'm a radio guy through and through. I want to dress like a slob, occasionally eat like a slob, and just live the dream, right?
Well, you fit right in. Scott, thanks for this, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
I'd love to, yeah. Anytime. Have Clark reach out.
All right, appreciate it. Scott MacArthur from Fan 590, Rogers Sportsnet. And it's hilarious that he would say that because I had, well, for one, Costa Marigas, legendary CBC anchor, stopped me on Gordon Road the other day. And we had a visit, and I had a CBC reporter from Toronto say to me, "I'm so jealous of you." And I'm like, You work on Front Street in CBC headquarters. You're jealous of me. It's so much fun what you're doing. We're watching it here. You guys are having so much fun. That's what the business is supposed to be. Right, Darren?
It is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it's supposed to be. We're all kids who just want to talk about sports and watch the games and enjoy them and mess around and, you know, do what we...
For a couple hours.
Exactly.
And eat delicious treats that aren't here. But I'm not
stop Roots. Complaining.
Yeah. Roots Kitchen and Wine Bar. Is it wine as well? Or is it just a booze wine?
Yeah.
A booze whining.
Treats. It's all treats and coffee. I'm drinking this.
Roots, you made Kitchen it. And Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't make it down there this weekend because I was in Calgary, but we'll be down there this week, although this is going to be a busy week, which nobody cares about but us. Anyways, we got a few minutes here before the next break, and thanks again to Scott for hanging in. But the decision, that's what people want to talk about this morning. The decision to end the game after an hour Friday night. Abu, for those that just tuned in, maybe they missed it earlier. I'm for the new rule. Darren, you said you're for the new rule.
Yeah.
And you are what?
There needed to be a rule. I'm happy that there's a rule.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the rule. You can't be mad because you knew about it going into the game. But an hour just didn't seem enough. I was disappointed because I set my PVR. And I'm like,
you can't do that anymore.
I mean, I went past the next.
That's what I mean. The games these days, because back in the day, all these delays, and it's certainly not just a CFL thing. I'm watching the Jets and the Giants on Thursday night, and they're delaying the game at MetLife Stadium. In your day, Abu, they used to force you guys out there to play. To hell with the Lightning. They're playing.
Yeah, that thing.
See, I liked it.
You said it was a 50, the Edmonton.
It was 59 because I filled it. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. That's why I trust that. But we went in for the weather, and... A lightning then hit the transformer or whatever, and then the power went out.
No, we were in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden, poof!
Why did they
the power went out?
And why did they let us play
when the power came back on?
When lightning hit the transformer right next to the stadium, I think they would have called the game before that.
There was weather though.
It was
raining.
I'm not saying there wasn't. Yeah. I'm just saying what the delay was a power outage.
Because they wouldn't have put us underneath in we wouldn't have been able to get to our lockers if there was power. So that's why I believe we went into our locker rooms with power and then it went out. Because when it went out, we couldn't see anything. There was no way we could have gotten to our locker rooms, to our locker, if there wasn't.
So obviously I'm in the booth and I remember
59 minutes,
how dark it was. I'm just saying, could not see my hand in front of my face. Most of you were there. What was it like in the locker room? They had probably had that emergency lighting on that.
But not for like, you know, 5 minutes or something.
Yeah. It was literally black.
Like when the power went out, we were there talking and then it was like you had no eyes anymore. Like it was, I don't know what it's like, but it was pitch black and everything went silent because you didn't know what, maybe you died. You know, you didn't know.
Yeah.
Everything just kind of went black and then guys started bringing out their phones and opened them up because that's how long it was.
That's hilarious.
Pulled out the antenna.
The reason we're talking about 07, for a couple reasons, people have been writing in about it, and they said, would that game have been called back then? But it wouldn't, because it was 59 minutes long. This is an hour.
Halftime or just after halftime?
I believe it was after
right
halftime.
Right around halftime?
That was in the third quarter, because they went right through third and fourth. They didn't do a break.
They usually don't break for...
But they went, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say that again?
Because usually they do 3 minutes, right? Is it 3 minutes in between the quarters? I thought
TV
it was later in the third quarter.
TV timeout.
I think time-wise, it might have been past the midway point, time-wise, of the third quarter. But I'd have to go back and look.
Well, again...
But it was only 59 minutes, so it's irrelevant.
It still doesn't matter, because it wasn't over an hour long. So, before we break, Scott Nichols writing in from Saskatoon this morning. He says, hey, Roddy, maybe I missed it, but... Perhaps a tip of the hat to the late Hugh McKay, Ryder Stadium manager. I didn't know what to say about it. The team, Huey passed on Friday. The team made the announcement over the weekend. I don't know what to say. Shock doesn't even begin to cover it. Abu, you worked with Huey. He literally touched thousands of people that came through the organization in terms of players, staff, fans. All the rest. I don't know what to say. I'm still stunned that Hugh passed. I think that's where most people are right now with Hugh.
Yeah, I saw it on Luke's Facebook, and I was like, I was kind of hoping he got the name wrong, or I got the name wrong, or it's just feels like I just saw him yesterday, you know. But maybe I did.
We will pause. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program on a Monday morning, everybody, wherever you may be tuning in from. We appreciate it. Episode number 50 of the program.
Mike Singletary.
Now, you were thinking about Mike Singletary.
Since last week.
Yeah. Can't win with him. Mike Singletary. I had Jarrell Freeman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Legendary number 50s. Played.
Who would agree with me?
That what?
And they prove once again that you're wrong, Rod.
Oh, Jordan in York. Hey, Jordan, calm down. The question was, would the game have been called in 2007? And it wouldn't have been called because it was a 15-minute delay. Why it was delayed, who cares? Yeah, there was a power outage. Yes, there was lightning. But you're wrong. No, it wouldn't have been called. That's the point of the argument. Famous number 50s. Dallas Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee. From the NBA, the Admiral, Dave Robinson.
See, I think these 50s should be like Hall of Fame 50s, not like Mike.
But there aren't a lot of them.
Mike Singletary.
He is one, yes.
That's like, all right, trump that. What do you, who else?
I'll take any.
Admiral, I'll take it. All right.
I'll take any number 50.
You're in the game. Yeah.
Well, like Major League Baseball's Jamie Moyer.
Well,
he wore number 50.
Okay, yeah.
Steven on my son's soccer team.
I know.
Put him down.
Right? That'll work too.
Right next
I know. I was struggling for number 50s, honestly. And the only thing that came, the only thing that came to mind as we're sitting in the warm up was Jonas Gustafsson.
The Goose.
Yeah, like that's the only one, the goalie, who wore 50. And I'm
with
trying
the
to think,
Leafs.
There might have been another 50 in goals somewhere. But
here's one for you. No Montreal Canadian in the history of the franchise wore number 50. Boom.
Is there a reason for that, or just?
I have no idea.
Wonder if there's a young
kid. For the Leafs, there's been three, including the goose, Jonas Gustafsson. But there's not a lot of number 50s. No. But
Mike Singletary.
This is a lot of fun as we point out the numbers on
a
daily
basis.
Dick Butkus,
I won't be here tomorrow, but
Dick Butkus, number 51.
Throw that up there, and Chunky Adams. Those are only
stop.
Those are the two names at the top of your page.
Stop looking ahead. Chris Clark, regarding delays in sports, he writes, then he says, we went to Moose Jaw for the Red Sox game Friday night and waited an hour and a half for it to start. It wasn't bad. That's our poll question today. How long would you wait for a game to resume in a weather delay? 30 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or 2 hours? And so far, the winner is 2 hours. Hang on. Vote now at Rod Peterson Show or rodpeterson.com. Very special guest joining us now from Bismarck, North Dakota. We're bringing in on video chat Ryder Hall of Famer in waiting, Weston Dressler, joins us this morning from ND. How you doing, Weston?
Good. How are you doing?
100%. Fantastic. Mike Abou-Meshrick and Darren DuPont with us this morning. A lot of questions for you, my friend. And you know my thoughts on you, where you stand in life, not just in rider history. What's your life been like since news came out Wednesday that you've taken this new job and moved home?
It's been pretty crazy. So I took the job a while back, obviously. I just started last week on Monday, and that's when they did the press release and all that stuff. So word kind of got out that way. But before that, life was pretty hectic, trying to move my family, my wife and our two kids down to Bismarck from Regina, which was some stressful moments. But we made it down here, and we're starting to settle in now to our new routine.
What's it feel like for you? Probably Tegan's going through a bigger culture shock than you. She's never lived really anywhere else, has she?
No. She's born and raised in Regina and really been there her whole life outside of the last couple of years while I was in Winnipeg, and she was out there with me for those few seasons. This is a little different for her. Obviously, she's been down here quite often visiting and moving back and forth from Regina to Bismarck as far as in the off season and things like that. So she's somewhat familiar with Bismarck and learning a lot more now that we're here.
You always seemed, Weston, I wouldn't say uncomfortable with the adulation, but surprised by everybody, the big deal they made out of you. Are you surprised at the reaction in the last week with your announcement that you've moved home?
Yeah, I'm always surprised. I think, you know, especially for me, obviously making this decision quite a bit of time ago, it's kind of had already sunk in, and you're moving forward and looking towards the future and everything, and you kind of forget that outside of your closest friends and family, not a lot of people really even knew that this was going on in my life. So you kind of forget that sometimes. I think it was important that you finally be able to share it with the public and let people know, where I'm at now.
What's up, Weston? I love you. You're the best.
Love
it's kind
too,
of a loaded question here. What are your workouts like maybe over the past 2 weeks, and what do they look like on the next 2 weeks? And if that phone rang, would someone else have to answer it, or would you pick it up and say yes? You knew it was coming. You knew I was going to ask that.
Workouts? You're talking like physical workouts?
Yeah.
I usually take the stairs instead of the elevator, so that's about the extent of it.
Yeah, that answer speaks volumes.
If you're getting at, if there's a possibility that I'd be playing football at some point, the answer is no. I haven't been training and preparing my body for that type of physical activity for quite some time now. So yeah, I wouldn't feel physically comfortable trying to put a helmet and shoulder pads on. I wouldn't feel safe out there at this moment.
All right, and now, if this career truly is over, can you look back and what was the greatest Weston Dressler moment or two that you can remember? The first one that pops into your head.
Oh, well, obviously winning a Grey Cup in 2013 in front of our fans on our home field. That was obviously, that's the number one memory that I'll have as far as playing in the CFL. And outside of that one, as far as on-field memories, you know, I always tell everyone, I definitely remember the locker room and the guys and the friendships a lot more than specific plays or even games. So I'll definitely miss the camaraderie and the different jokes and things that come with a professional football locker room. That's for sure.
Yeah. If you were to run one route that was your signature route, what would it be?
I don't know. I like to think I was really good at it a lot. But I always enjoyed the types of routes where you kind of had an option, where your quarterback knows you're the primary read and everyone else around you is doing certain things and you can go in or out, and to have that ability to adjust on the fly. Those were my most moments as far as route running, because if you read it right and do it correctly, the defense can't be right.
We had Addison Richards on here the other day, who you spent some time with in Winnipeg, and we were talking about you, and I said, what I remember about Weston's not the games, it's the practices, because every single rep was like the Super Bowl was on the line from the minute you showed up in 2008 to the end. Weston, is that the way you were built? Is that something your dad put in you? Because that's why you're going to the Hall of Fame. It's the effort. That's what I remember in practice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was just always geared towards making the next play. I felt like if you make it in practice, you're going to make it in the game. And if you don't make it in practice, sometimes you're developing bad habits and it trickles into the game. So I gave it everything I had in practice, partly because of my competitive nature, and I wanted to beat our own DBs, because you don't get a chance on game day to beat your own teammates. So you just try to let them know that way, because I was always having fun with our defensive guys too. And I think if you talk to some of the DBs that I've played with, they'd probably tell you I annoyed them at times at certain practices. But that for me was the best way to prepare for games, was to practice like it was a game. And, you know, some guys aren't able to put that effort in every day, but some guys are physically gifted enough that they don't have to be successful in the games. And I always felt like I needed to do that if I was going to be prepared and successful on game day.
Not many guys can make looking hard fun and make it look fun. And you definitely did that. But what were your thoughts coming up here in 07? You know, showing up in training camp.
Oh, wait.
Sorry. I'm old. I forget. Feels like we played longer together, though. You know, you came up here primarily as a punt returner, I thought, and then everyone kind of gotten hurt. And then you were our primary guy at the end of the day. But before we knew who number seven was, what were your thoughts coming up here?
Honestly, I had no idea what to expect. I knew a little bit about the CFL and the fact that there was football in Canada. That was pretty much what I knew. That was about it. I remember coming to training camp and seeing how big the field was and seeing all these receivers running in motion and kind of wondering what the heck I got myself into. 'Cause it is football, but it was a lot different from any type of football that I had ever played. But from day one, I remember going through rookie camp, you know, 3 days of rookie camp before all the vets come in, and just kind of getting that knowledge base of how the game works and things like that. And just kind of realizing, I remember realizing at that time how fun it was with those differences in the game compared to football. And I just kind of fell in love with it right away.
If you and Rob Bagg had lined up for a race, which you never did, who would win? And not now. You can't do it now. Who would have won back in the day?
I honestly think it would have depended on the day. Who was feeling better that day? Who had a better breakfast or lunch or whatever time of day they were doing it? I also think there's a high possibility that both of us would have, one of us probably would have ended up injured trying to catch the other. We're trying so hard. We would have pushed our bodies further than physically possible. I know I would have. If he was beating me, I probably would end up injured at some point.
That's probably why Ken Miller would never sign off on the deal and why it never happened. Another question, because I got a million for you, and I know you got to get back to work here, but what means more to the people of Bismarck, North Dakota, and our area, that you're a Hall of Fame CFL career and champion, or that you spent time with the Kansas City Chiefs and I believe played on national television. What's a bigger deal to them down there?
Well, I think if you asked me that 11 years ago before I started, they would say that I was with the Kansas City Chiefs for a little bit. But I think over the years, what I'm most proud of is kind of the knowledge base that North Dakota, Bismarck and North Dakota as a whole kind of has of the CFL now. I'm glad that I was a part of introducing the Canadian Football League to a lot of my friends and a lot of people in this community. So I know a lot of people that still follow it a little bit and keep track of it. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to start asking people.
Or you'll find out because you're back living there now. Do you guys have anything else for Weston?
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, I know you're like one of the things that has made this show so great and the fans seem to love in the comments is we've had guys like you on, Darian, you know, Chris Getzlaff in this chair, Gene. What made that group for those years so special and so good? You had so many guys that stayed together and we don't see that so much in sports and you guys had a ton of success. What was so special about that group?
I think we just really enjoyed each other's company. That was a big factor of it. We all enjoyed working together and communicating together. And I think that was the initial start of building all that chemistry that we all had with that receiving core and with Darian. But then I think early on we went through some things together. Obviously, two Grey Cup losses in a row. Those types of experiences really kind of secure those bonds. And I think when you go through difficult times together, you kind of learn about each other. And we were able to go through those and ultimately kind of rebuild our team with the same core group of guys and end up winning a Grey Cup together. So that was pretty special that we were able to go through all that and kind of survive a cycle of change within the organization and still be able to have a lot of guys stick around together and find a way to win it eventually.
Last one for you, Weston. I'm quite interested in what you're doing now and what this career is. By the smile on your face, it seems like you are enjoying it. What can you tell us about this next phase of your life?
Yeah, I'm learning a lot. Like I said, I just started last Monday, so I got one whole week in here. But I'm working with community relations, so I get to be out in the community a lot, the community of Bismarck, working with the public schools and youth sports programs, things like that, finding where we can, maybe give a little bit of money here and there to help the kids and the healthcare programs across Bismarck and really across the Midwest as far as Samford is concerned. Samford's the company that I'm with. So I'm excited to kind of reconnect with some of the people in the community that are still involved here quite heavily that I got to know kind of as a younger kid growing up, going through high school here, and just kind of forming those relationships and seeing where I can help the community of Bismarck grow.
Well, we're certainly glad that you're happy with that, and I just want to thank you for all you did for us, Weston. Obviously, Hall of Fame player, but more importantly, Hall of Fame person. So keep in touch, and good luck with the new endeavor.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Weston Dressler this morning from Bismarck, North Dakota. I think we could have got on for a real long time, but I didn't want to steal his work time. Got another Hall of Famer coming into the bunker after the break, right in studio. Hang on, everybody. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Monday morning. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price.
Get this certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $24,998 plus tax. Or check out this certified pre-owned 2018 Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 for just $28,750 plus tax. We have over 40 low-mileage Jeeps in stock at Canada's largest GM-certified pre-owned retailer.
You pay what we make!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.